still says Villa's daycare. All right. Thanks, Mark, for joining me. We've got here today Mark Monet, who is the co-owner of The Bar in San Mateo. I've known Mark for probably about 2 years.
Yeah, about 2 years right now.
And he's been my personal trainer for this past 2 years. And I actually am pretty indebted to Mark to helping me reach some fitness goals that I never thought I could possibly do before. Maybe I never told you this, but like, I've always tried to really lose weight and get a little bit healthier. And I felt like I kept going up and down a little bit. And like, within the last 2 years, I've definitely met or exceeded my own expectations for how much strength and like fitness I could actually truly achieve, right? Like a couple weeks ago, we did the 5K.
Yeah, that was good. It was, and not only that, you smashed your goal. Yeah. Like that was another thing too, right? He's like, oh, I'm gonna break 40 minutes. No, he didn't, like 37 minutes, right? If I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you before that, we were training just to get you up to 3 miles. And
yeah.
So you think about it, you did a 5K, which is just a little more than 3 miles, and you did it faster than you expected.
Mm-hmm.
So that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, so I feel like since working with you, even other things in my own life have kind of almost like not come together, but in weird ways, like focusing on your personal goals in terms of, at least for me, health and wellness. Yeah. Kind of brought some other things to like, almost get clarity in terms of what I want with work, sometimes with relationships. And it's been really interesting to think about how the last 2 years have really changed so dramatically.
Yeah, they definitely have. I think you and me both. Because I think when you first started up with me, I was in a different relationship at the time. And even then, I was going through quite a bit of a struggle with what was going on in my personal life. So yeah, that changed. And then I think you were one of my earlier clients starting off, because
is that right?
Yeah, you were definitely one of my earlier clients starting off before becoming The Bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before that I was sole prop to Armada Body Fit, and I was just getting, you know, my toes wet in how to run my own business. And so, I mean, before that I worked for, you know, a larger corporation in terms of gyms and all that stuff, and that wasn't as fulfilling. Because there was a quota I always had to meet, and that kind of took away the spirit of the job.
Tell me more about that spirit. What was it that was driving you to actually, I mean, you've been a trainer for a while, so like what actually got you involved into training? Or is this like something like you're like a kid and you're like, I'm gonna be a personal trainer? Like, what did that look like?
You know, I've always been athletic. I've always been kind of an active kid. What you call it? You know, I did sports all through late junior high to throughout most of high school. And even in my really early adulthood, I still would like go on runs and stuff like that and just be athletic. And then when I first moved up to the Bay Area, I was actually having a hard time finding a job. I ended up being on unemployment, actually, and doing a server job, which really sucked. So I needed to switch it up. And one day, the mother of my son, she wanted to go work out, and she wanted me to work out with her and all that. And I was like, oh, look, they have a job opening for front desk. So I wasn't even thinking about being a trainer. I just need something else different from the server job.
Yeah.
And I asked about what, you know, what can I get an application for front desk and all that. And the manager at the time came up to me and goes, hey, instead of being in front desk, how about you become a personal trainer? And so he was telling me that if I would have gone front desk, I would have had to wait about 6 months before I could transfer to being a trainer, or I can get my certification. And about a month later, he could hire me on.
Mm.
And financially, it sounded more beneficial. And that, and I could also control my own schedule as well, which was really important. So I did it. I mean, he gave me the resources to find, you know, a place where I can get my certification.
Yeah.
And lucky for me, it was a pretty easy certification, just enough to get my foot through the door. And I did it. And when I came back to 24, manager was gone.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was like, oh, okay, never mind, the guy said he was gonna hire me, he's not here to hire me. And so they had to pass my resume to these other locations, other 24-hour locations, 24-hour fitness locations. And I was bombing. I was doing horrible on these interviews.
Wow.
Yeah, I went to like 5 different locations, and I was just doing crap. And it'd be like one part of the interview would be good, but the other part bad. And it was just on and off. Like I was either really good at the in-person interview, or I was really bad with taking them on, you know, the workout. So and eventually I landed in Daly City with Crunch Fitness, and the manager there at the time was awesome. I mean, the way he questioned me and just got me really inspired to become more of a personal trainer and wanted to learn more. And, you know, I was telling him, like, I don't have a lot of experience in sales and this and that. And he's like, good, you don't have any bad habits. And I was like, whoa, way to see the glass half full.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. So it made me more inspired to learn the sales aspect and the science aspect and what the service should be like. And I went with Daly City Crunch. For about the first 6 to 8 months, I actually sucked at it. So it took me a minute to actually gain ground on understanding the human body, understanding the sales aspects. And then at one point, you know, I think around November of my first year, another gym had closed down. And so the gym itself was gaining a lot of traction. And that means obviously we're getting more volume, which meant potentially more work. And every time there was a potential client, my manager at the time was like, hey, who wants this one? And I was like, the first one to raise my hand. And so I always saw opportunity, not with only in the work, but in the learning as well, every time there was a new client. So it just really changed my game in terms of how I should work out, how I should help people. The more I understood the human body, the more I was just like, I know how to help this person out.
Yeah.
And that was very revelating.
That's cool. What I like about, and I know we're not actually completely done with your story, right? but there's a thing called the hero's journey, which is kind of like this framework for how stories are really told. And not that you're trying to tell us a story, but what's interesting to me is like one really critical aspect of the hero's journey is like you can live your life and you can kind of keep going forward and never be impacted by anything else. But sometimes there's like a sage or like a teacher or a mentor who kind of shifts your thought in a slightly different way. And I kind of felt like, at least initially when you went to 24 and you're trying to apply to the front desk, there was like this moment where this person came into your life and opened a different door for you. And when you weren't sure, but you're like, hey, it offers a lot more of what I actually want versus just the finances. And you like, you chose to walk through that door and go on a different journey. And it didn't go how you thought it was going to go, right? Like, it wasn't like, oh yeah, super easy. I'm going to come back in a month and I'm going to get this job. Actually, no, it was quite different from that, right? You were led down a different journey, which, you know, some people might have just given up and like, man, I just like spent this time on this like certification and here the job's not even here anymore. But like you, for some reason, kept going and like you had these interviews, again, kind of like this hodgepodge of like, you know, meetings where it's like nothing really went great, nothing really went horribly wrong, but it wasn't the right fit almost. And you come and find this person at Crunch and he knows you're new. He sees some potential in you. And, like, it's, like, a brand new journey that you're going down. Like, even though it's the same, like, intention of, like, you becoming this trainer, it's interesting how, like, certain people, whether you've cultivated a long relationship with them or, like, not, have, like, kind of influenced your life. Because I'm sure the first person at 24 influenced your life to, like, start down this journey.
Yeah.
But then probably didn't participate at all later on. Where the next manager, I don't know, I wonder, like, what do you think that manager saw in you? Like, why were they willing to take you on where other potential managers weren't?
So okay, so one of the things he said he was looking for, the manager at Crunch, one of the things he said he was looking for was looking for someone who has a good work ethic, who's willing to learn, and has a good personality. And the reason he was looking for those three things is he can't teach those things. And I didn't think of it like that. It was, and so even as I grew in the hierarchy of at Crunch at the time, those were the three things I was sort of looking for in other trainers, and made me realize, like, I don't care about your credentials. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm glad you're smart in what you do, but I want to know how you apply yourself with what you know.
Yeah.
And so you know, one of the things he asked me about, you know, he mentioned he had, you know, some back problems and stuff like that. And he goes, take me on two exercises right now with knowing about my issues. And I took the two exercises and he goes, you're the first person, four people that I've interviewed that got this right. And I was like, oh, whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. So people who've interviewed prior to me, it, you know, I'm not saying they failed, but I guess I had common sense towards his issues,
mm-hmm.
and that on top of the personality aspect and willing to work hard and all that, it was like, okay, now that we know you don't have any bad habits, you have common sense, pretty personality, willing to work hard, let's get you training, understand how we work, and get you educated, and then everything else they can teach, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that just went on from there.
And I guess when you're in that learning process, your keys fall down. It's totally fine. That also probably lines up really well with that first 6 to 8 months where things, you probably weren't the best coach or trainer, right?
No. Oh, no. No. I was still struggling.
Uh-huh.
You know, in terms of numbers, gosh, I think I was just barely making it by. And then something clicked, like 6 months in, I was like, oh, wow, I just doubled what I normally sell.
What changed?
And that's the funny thing. I don't know what did. I think I was just that hungry feeling. I was just like, I got to keep doing this. I got to keep doing this. I got to find a way to keep myself getting better and better. And I remember at one point, because a lot of it, you know, personal training, sorry to say, is the sales aspect. You know, you can talk all this jargon about science, but if no one understands you on the science level, it's not going to matter what you propose in terms of prices.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point, I remember, I feel bad because the potential client didn't know this, but I was recording it.
Oh.
I was recording, yeah.
That might not be pretty good. That's not
good. It wasn't very good.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
No, I don't, lucky for me, I don't remember the name, but I just remember I recorded myself doing, you know, my shindig or whatever.
Your pitch.
You know, just, yeah, my pitch. And then it bombed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening, but it was good because then I listened to myself and I got to hear myself like, oh, that's how I present myself. Okay, maybe I am talking too fast. Maybe I am saying too many things that this person may not understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe I should just be more basic. Nothing wrong with being basic. And so as time went along, that was my focus. I was like, all right, forget how much you know about muscles and all that stuff. Just be brilliant at the basics.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone told me, hey, my shoulder hurts. Okay, well, let's find out how your shoulder hurts. Okay, move it like this and this. And it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. All right, now we know, have an idea of what your program should be.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's where I got much, much better. And then I think like 2 months after my 6 month mark, I made enough to qualify going up the rankings.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was just trying to be more brilliant at the basics. And then as you know, we have that client, then you can start explaining more of the technical stuff. It's like, okay, here's what we need to focus on, these are the name of the muscles and this is how they work.
Yeah, it's almost like you took a moment with that recording instead of like reflecting and like really trying to better understand how is it that you're showing up. And how might that be perceived by the person you're interacting with? So we were talking about this a little bit during our session today, mm-hmm. with our training session, about what's the message that you're communicating and what's really the message being received. We often think we're being very clear and transparent, but to the person that we're talking to, that might not be the case.
Yeah, so like we mentioned earlier, you know, knowing how to talk in the sense of the lowest common denominator,
mm-hmm.
right? I can't say vastus medialis oblique. And then,
I have no idea
yeah,
what you're
exactly,
about.
Right? Just a quad muscle.
Okay.
But see,
like
what's
the oblique? I was like, maybe, but that was like a minute later, right? Like, I was like, oh.
Right? So, but something simple like that, right? If I just say it's a quad muscle by your knee,
mm-hmm.
right? That's way easier. And people can comprehend that better than what I just mentioned.
Yeah.
The technical name of that muscle. And so, giving them an understanding of what parts of the muscle that are working and how it's supposed to work.
Mm hmm.
It is much better for a person to understand than to tell them all these technical things
yeah.
that they may not understand. You know, especially if you're trying to get them to a particular goal, you almost want to be as basic as possible so they realize, like, oh, the solution is easy. Yeah. Okay, now it just takes for me to apply and be consistent about it.
Uh-huh. Super interesting. So, like, when you were saying that, your phrase of, like, keeping things basic, right? Being basic. The other phrase that came to mind to me was kiss it. Have you heard of that?
No.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Oh, no, I've never heard of that.
It's the kiss it philosophy. And kind of along those lines, like, oftentimes when we start something new, as humans in general, that's who I mean by we, if we don't know what it's about, if we don't know what we're doing, we often overcomplicate things. And it's kind of like that fear of the unknown, because it's so fearful, we like put up all these like, what if this happened and what if this happened, and then it gets overcomplicated. And what I keep hearing from you is like, how can I really just kind of dumb things down? How can I keep things at such a simple level that it's not like that meant, now it's not no longer the mental hurdle you have to get over. It's like just doing it.
Yeah, I kind of just tag on at that. I always figure problems that we always problems that always happen to us always are complicated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's just whether it's fitness or just in life in general, but the solutions are always really easy.
Yeah.
And it's just, okay, well, now you know the solution, now you just need to break down the solution. All right, well, what's your plan of attack to get from point A to point B? And that's the work part.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So but I think if you talk about that mental hurdle that you mentioned about, you know, I think that's part of the reason why people are always more hesitant to do personal training versus like go to a doctor, right? Like if you go to a doctor,
mm-hmm.
a doctor can analyze it like, hey, this is the issue,
mm-hmm.
and we can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what work do you have on your behalf in order for them to fix it? Not really, you just got to show up and they'll do the work for you.
I see.
For the fitness, now you're accountable for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mental hurdle is, I have to put in the work to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, not for myself, yeah.
For yourself. So that'd be probably the best way to address that.
Yeah, interesting. I could see that. I mean, kind of like I was saying in the beginning, I've tried many times to like lose weight, right? But I kind of just realized I needed an accountability partner. Someone to help me through that process. And just like keep me going. I think, especially when it comes to maybe fitness, your goals don't happen as soon as you might want them to.
Mm-hmm.
No one loses 20, well, I'm not going to say no one. Most people don't lose 20 pounds in like a month.
Mm-hmm.
At least not in a way that is sustainable for a long term.
Yeah.
Right? You can lose 20 pounds in a month, but you probably get it back once you start going back to your bad habits.
Exactly.
So it's more about like, how can I keep my own habit? How can I break down the mental part of the mental hurdle for myself of like being healthy is hard,
mm-hmm.
into manageable steps that are things that I can do every day to build healthy habits to achieve my goals. It'll take longer, but that's kind of like an approach you seem to be talking about. Like, you've got a bigger problem, how do you break it down into like the work that you have to do, and how do you make that work simple enough that you can integrate it and actually achieve it?
Yeah, a lot of that's more of the mental shift in general.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so I always, one of the things I always try to ask, especially more of my newer clients and stuff like that, is like, what's your short-term goal and what's your long-term goal? Mm-hmm. Short-term goal is usually the aesthetic goal. Like, hey, I just need to tone up. Hey, I need to lose 20 pounds. Hey, I have a wedding coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Long-term goal, what's your long-term goal? And most people don't really think about the long-term goal. They just think like, I can keep doing this for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually not the case. I mean, congratulations if you've made it into a daily habit, right on. But is your daily habit to maintain? Okay, nothing wrong with that, right? But for me, in my line of work, I always think of it as, what can I do to present you the best version of yourself? What does that entail?
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like for you in terms of when you see yourself in the mirror? What does it look like for you when it comes to, let's say, doing a running sport or a running event?
Yeah.
You know, if you want to lift weights or anything like that. What, and so when I present a goal that's long term, it's knowing that I'm going to change their mentality of how they should approach themselves into unveiling the best version of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's more my thing, personally, why I got into fitness. When I think about it, it's like, okay, cool, I'm glad I'm helping people.
Yeah.
Awesome. You know, and usually when you're helping someone in the fitness realm, it's like, okay, are you helping an aesthetic or are you helping an ailment?
Oh.
It's really interesting, right?
Okay.
So someone has like diabetes or something like that. It's like, okay, or our goal is to make sure that you have, you know, better, you know, healthier blood pressure and you're depending on medicine less and less. But do you think once you're off that medicine, that's the best version of yourself? Let's take it a few steps farther, right? So one of the things you and I have always joked about is like getting you to do pull-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I kind of refuse.
Yeah,
yes.
It sounds like a joke, but if you were able to do pull-ups, would that be a better version of where you are now?
I don't know. It would be a version of myself that I never thought I could be.
There you go.
I could say that for sure.
Yeah. Right? Like, you probably didn't expect to do a 5K as fast as you did.
No, definitely.
Like, if you would have asked yourself maybe 3 months ago, right?
Never.
Yeah.
I would have said, I don't like running. No, this isn't me.
Yeah.
I'm not a runner.
And now you're actually running pretty damn good now, and you're catching up pretty fast.
Yeah.
So, all right. And then you mentioned it earlier today, too, is like, okay, now I want to run a 5K in under 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, just a few months ago, you're probably doing under 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So now you're starting to kind of shed the inessentials,
yeah,
to unveil the sculpture.
Yeah, it's almost, and I realized this with my whole like journey of running, right? Not that it was short-lived, but I would find myself while on a run having to battle my like inner critic of like, oh, you can't finish this in 40 minutes. And I just had to like tell myself like, you know, you can do this. It doesn't matter if you don't do it in 40 minutes. The fact is, you're doing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that is better than just sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that was one of the things like I was always trying to, when it came to like motivating you, it was like, just one more song.
Mm-hmm.
It's all you have to listen to. You know, before you know it, just that one song, 3 or 4 minutes have gone by.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, so now you have, let's say you have to run a mile farther. Okay, 2 or 3 more songs.
Yeah.
You're there. It's just, again, breaking down the steps of how to get over that mental hurdle
mm-hmm.
when you start doubting yourself.
Yeah, I also found another thing pretty helpful, which was like identifying what, like maybe naming 5 attributes that identified who my best self was. And then, but just starting to believe I am that person. And then you start to act like that person.
It's almost like you fake it till you make it.
A little
right?
bit, yeah.
Right, so it's kind of funny. It's kind of reminds me of a story when I was younger, because one of the things when I was younger is I used to be a bartender. I was a bartender for almost 5 years. And one of the things about that was, you know, when you start drinking a lot of alcohol, you realize, okay, I'm being a little more arrogant, more cocky or whatever, or flirtatious. And when you're definitely well aware of that, it's like, okay, I like who I am when I'm like that.
Mm.
So you kind of start grabbing bits and pieces of that and adding to yourself when you're sober. And it's like, okay, if you like who you are when you're like this, why not be like that? Why not make necessary changes to be like that?
Yeah. And it's like almost like, what were the, again, probably mental hurdles of like, that were stopping you from being that person sober?
I would say, you know, you get self-conscious to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, before I became a personal trainer, I was really, really huge into running and like calisthenic-based exercises. I was very, very reluctant into lifting weights. But I knew that I had to give up a sense of performance for the sense of athletics, or aesthetics, I'm sorry, for aesthetics. So it's kind of like, all right, I know if I do this, I'm not going to be as good as a runner as I once was.
And what was your identity when you were a runner? Like, were you Mark the Runner? Like, who were you?
I just ran. I guess that's it right there. I ran a lot. Like even though, I mean, there's been plenty of times where I'm just like, okay, if I need to depend on a ride to get from point A to point B, it's like, okay, it's 5 miles to get to there. Okay. How long is it going to take me? It's probably going to maybe take me this long. All right, I'm going to go.
I can just run it.
And just run it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't like that idea of if I could depend on someone else, that I was helpless.
Hmm. But that would have to change if you maybe cut back on your performance with running.
Yeah.
And started to build up your athleticism. Is that what you called it?
More my aesthetics.
Aesthetics. Okay.
Yeah. So.
So that's interesting to me because it's like you had to almost be willing to let go of the identity of Mark the runner in the way that you knew to be true, and build a new identity that evolved.
Yeah.
An evolved definitely. Version of Mark.
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, I'm still a runner. I still run pretty good compared to my younger self, but now it's just, it's an added piece. Like where I'm at now to where I was then, just an added piece.
Yeah.
You know, and if giving up a little bit of running to be better at, say, weightlifting was the cost, cool. I think it'd be more well-rounded in who I am as a person as well as a trainer.
So the change was worth it.
Change was totally worth it.
And I wonder, because like that evolution that happened, was that an easy process? Was that like something that you're like, you kind of debated about, like, do I really want to go down this pathway because it is going to change who I am? Like, you know, retrospect, you know, hindsight's always 20/20.
Yeah. Well.
How did you maybe feel during that? Do you remember that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, geez, it was a different gear. That's what it was. It was just a different gear. So I didn't start really weightlifting until I became a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at the time I weighed like 120 pounds. Like I was this really 5'2", really skinny guy. Don't get me wrong, I could still run a 6-minute mile as a warm up. But it was just like, okay, I got to give something up in order to look the part as a personal trainer.
Yeah.
Like no one's going to take me seriously being this small. So once I understood more of the science and stuff like that behind what took me to gain more muscle, it was like, okay, cool. And then I just started weightlifting from there on, made me look more of the part as a personal trainer, and I liked the way I looked personally and the way I performed more well-roundedly.
Mm-hmm. So who is your identity towards the end of that, like, or even now, who's Mark now?
I
like so that you have like this like shyish grin about you too.
Yeah. Right. It's kind of like we mentioned before, best version of myself. And so the best way I can describe it would be, you ever watch Dragon Ball Z?
Unfortunately, no. Unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know right now.
So the way they train in that show was the fastest, strongest version of themselves in terms of combat.
Okay.
So I kind of have that approach the way I work out. What's the, how long can I go? How fast can I go? How strong can I lift?
Mm-hmm.
And just hitting all aspects of that and, you know, am I still mobile enough to be, you know, functioning in life as well?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm going with it now. It's kind of like, all right, how fast can I still run? Mm-hmm. How much can I lift? Can I still work out for 2 or 3 hours if I really wanted to?
And be in combat, right? Kick somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
How do you bring that to your clients, right? So many, I assume, I'm totally making really grand assumptions here, probably based on myself. But I assume most people come to you, obviously, one, because they need help, or they're looking to maybe excel or change maybe kind of something about their identity or like enhance a performance. How do you help them identify who they are, who they want to be, and help them kind of make the connections throughout that journey?
So a big part of that seems to be humility.
Okay.
Not in a bad way. It's kind of like, all right, When we address a potential client, it's kind of like, cool, what are you doing now to get you to your goal? Okay, now we've noticed a few things that you haven't been doing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of pointing the errors in their ways.
Okay, more educational way or like a shameful kind of way?
More educational way, of course, okay. Right? Like we got to let them know like, hey, you can't be doing this because it does this and this to the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I always let them know is like, it's easy to make small changes than big changes, right? Like everyone wants the instant change right off the bat. But the problem with the instant change, like if you are going to go from, let's say, a normal American diet to, let's say, a keto diet, is that it's just not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make small changes accordingly to get you to that diet, let's say. So again, it's changing the mindset
mm-hmm.
of fitness. But So part of it's humiliating. So it's telling them, like, okay, well, do you really feel like you need to go out and drink as often as you have been? Probably not. But let's say you do drink. Okay, do you dance at least? Uh-huh. All right, if you drink and dance, well, then just make sure, instead, just make sure you're dancing your ass off. Like, dance longer than you usually do, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and one thing too is, like, if you tell someone who does drink to not drink for a while or drink less, naturally their tolerance drops.
Yep.
So now they really become a little more reluctant to drink because now they realize, like, oh, now I'm a cheap date. I don't. And that means I can also get wasted faster, too, and I don't want to feel like that way in the morning,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's that. You know, tell them just in their ways, like, hey, this isn't obviously benefiting you to getting where you need to be. My goal is to guide you there step by step,
yeah.
no matter how big or small the steps may be. And in the process, disciplining you in other ways, giving up certain vices
mm-hmm.
and creating new habits to replace them.
Yeah. You mentioned something about kind of how everybody wants that instant achievement of a goal, right? And I think about, like, how, like, you know, not like it's Instagram, but like people become insta-famous, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's never really overnight, but the perception from other people is that it's overnight. But in reality, whatever you're doing, whether you're working out, there's a lot of effort that's put into the background that many people just don't see. Mm-hmm. You experience it yourself, but it's, then you get to that place of like, so I've lost 40 pounds
mm-hmm.
and some people are just like, oh my God, how'd you do it? And it's like, it's been 2 years of hard work.
Yeah.
Right? Or like changing habits. Not all habits have changed, but like I'm trying to make better decisions maybe.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes people don't see you as often, so they just see like the instant change. They just see what they're perceiving as an instant change, and it looks to them, or they're perceiving it as like almost effortless.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I like to think, or at least like to believe, that things that look effortless actually are really effortful.
Yes.
Right? Because there's so much work that just goes on behind the scenes that people just don't see. And it's like, how do you help remind people or like motivate them to kind of be effortful so that mm-hmm. the outcome might seem effortless, but it might not seem that way to themselves. Like, how do you remind them, like, the work that you're doing is leading to the change that you want? It's just you as an individual are probably the last person to see it because you're the most hypercritical too.
So one of the things I definitely try to point out is like, okay, how long did it take you for you to gain this weight? So then they should think about it, like, oh, I gained this weight and it took me about 3 years. I'll tell them, if you don't have a good chance of losing this weight fast, give me 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that point on, it's about the consistency
mm-hmm.
of tackling that goal. And more often than that, you'll find out like getting to your goal is a lot faster than what got you there in the first place, to the point where you have to be like, I need a goal to fix myself.
Really? Okay, explain it to me a little bit more, because I think it's a lot easier to put on weight than it mm-hmm. is to get rid of it.
So more often than not, when we take them through what they call a PARQ,
okay.
right? It's just getting an idea of their background in terms of medical and, you know, if they're physically capable of working out, things like that. You know, one of the things I'll ask them is, all right, well, with how much you weigh, like I mentioned before, how long did it take for you to gain that weight? And it's like, okay, so it took you,
whole life.
So it took you three years. Well, that's 36 months.
Okay.
Okay, but it took you 3 to 6 months to gain X amount of pounds.
Yeah.
So you break that down, and then you tell them little things like, well, most people gain this much weight during the holidays. Most people are pretty surprised about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And a lot of times, more often than not, you kind of go through this ebb and flow, but it's kind of going up and down, upwards towards weight.
Mm-hmm.
Losing weight's kind of the same thing, but if you're very consistent about it, the steps to go down are much bigger. So What maybe took you a year to gain 10 pounds. Well, if you took the right amount of steps, you can lose 10 pounds in like 2 months.
Yeah, fair point.
You know, so it's kind of like, all right, well, here are the tools that provide. All you have mm-hmm. to do is just follow them and be consistent about it. And that's usually the hardest part, is how to make one consistent about utilizing these tools. Right? So like you and I, we've been training about twice a week. You know, ever since we started and all that stuff. But the goal would be, how do I make you work out 5 times a week?
Yeah.
So that you wouldn't have to take as long to get to whatever your next goal may be.
Interesting.
That's really difficult, right? Like, that's the whole thing when you start with personal training. You usually want to just give them the steps and the tools to get started. But then making them utilize those tools when they're not seeing you is way more. Yeah, exactly. It's definitely more of a challenge.
Yeah. I think you just also helped me break a belief that I had right now, like helping to break down that fallacy of like, it's harder to gain weight than lose. Mm-hmm. Sorry, what am I saying? Let me take a second. I think the belief I had was that it is harder to lose than it is to gain. Maybe technically in terms of like consumption, that's probably, it could be true, but the way you've described it is like, well, thinking about how much weight you've gained over a period, mm-hmm. you slowly might have gained it, but we can lose it much more rapidly with the consistency, with the different behaviors, with things like that.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of not the belief that I had. I think the belief I was thinking about was like, it's easier to put on the weight, but that also means you've not changed your habits.
Correct. Yeah, so you haven't changed your habits. You know, your body's not as active as you used to.
Mm-hmm.
Things of that sort.
Interesting. Very cool. Well, what do you think you'd really want maybe other folks to, who don't know about the bar or haven't done personal training, like, what else should they know about you, perhaps?
Just know that I'm here to guide you through, I'm not going to say this correctly, to help you instill a discipline towards a better version of yourself,
mm-hmm.
and make you realize that there's definitely more about yourself than how you perceive yourself now.
Yeah.
You know, like I mentioned earlier, just making you realize your potential. And I don't, you know, the way life is these days, you know, I mean, it's easy to get caught up in like the most popular TV show or get caught up with work. And so it becomes very distracting in trying to find the best version of yourself. Or even just taking the time to step back and be like, okay, could I be doing this better? Could I be living my life this much better if I did this?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes,
or if you stop doing something.
Or yeah, exactly. Or if you stop doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you just need that mentor to show you the way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And not only to show you the way, but show you that there is an easy outlook to this. You just have to be willing to put the work and accountability behind that.
Yeah. It's almost like, if I tie this back to your story, the manager at Crunch, he saw that potential in you and wanted to invest in you to help you reach your potential. Potential that maybe you didn't know you had. You're kind of doing the same thing for your clients.
Yes.
I love that.
Thanks.
Well, Mark, thanks for your time today. Hopefully this is a fun conversation for you anyone who's listening. We hope to maybe make some more of these, and I hope you all will stay tuned.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.